Over the last couple of decades, we have learned a great deal about the relationship between gender inequality and economic growth. Let me review briefly the empirical evidence. First, inequalities in education, for instance, artificially reduce the pool of talent which societies can draw from. By excluding qualified girls from the educational stream and promoting less qualified boys, the average amount of human capital in a country will be reduced, and this will have an adverse impact on economic performance. The promotion of female education leads to lower births per women, not only because educated women will have greater knowledge about family planning, but also because education creates greater opportunities for women that may be more attractive than childbearing. Lower fertility levels help reduce child mortality and expand the range of educational opportunities available to the next generation. All of these factors combine to boost economic growth. Indeed, we know that the effects of lower fertility levels associated with improved female education have long-lasting effects and deliver a demographic dividend a couple of decades later. With reduced fertility levels, the working age population will grow more rapidly than the overall population, and this will boost per capita economic growth. Perhaps an even more powerful driver of economic growth associated with the narrowing of employment gender gaps has to do with what economists call the bargaining power within families. Not surprisingly, when women work and earn income as a result, they will be more empowered within the home. Beyond the direct personal benefits to her, the economics literature has identified a number of other favorable effects, such as higher savings, more productive investments, and better use and repayment of credit, all of which are beneficial for economic growth. Other studies have shown that with greater female power within the household, there will be higher investments in the health and education of children, thereby planting the seeds for the accumulation of human capital in the next generation. Yet another influence has to do with growing evidence that women workers are less prone to corruption and nepotism than men workers. The evidence comes from a number of sources. For instance, the criminology literature, and I will quote from a study from the American Academy of Sciences, has long established that, and I quote, the most consistent pattern with respect to gender is the extent to which male criminal participation in serious crimes at any age greatly exceeds that of females, regardless of the source of data, crime type, level of involvement, of measure of participation, unquote. More recently, a survey of 6,500 companies carried out in the United Kingdom looking at the gender composition of company boards showed clear evidence that companies with greater female participation in boards were less likely to be hit by governance scandals involving bribery, fraud, and other factors likely to depress business confidence. So, in fact, boosting the employment of women is likely to be beneficial for economic growth through improvements in the quality of governance. Finally, there is ample evidence that those countries that have managed to more rapidly integrate women into the workforce have managed to improve their international competitiveness by making it possible to develop export-oriented manufacturing industries that have tended to be intensive in the use of women.